Ladies and gentlemen, the State of the Union, or the State of the Union, according to misprinted tickets.
You had one job, dude.
Actually, he's got two jobs. He's a sergeant in arms. He's got to print the tickets to the event. He's got to say, the President of the United States. And then everybody goes crazy. Except, is that going to happen tonight? Because this president, obviously, to say the least, has some enemies on the other camp. So to talk to us about it from the Republican perspective, it is a pleasure to welcome back to the show one of our faves. He is the California National Committeeman from the Republican National Committee, Sean Steele. Good morning, Mr. Steele. How are you?
Top of the day. What exciting times.
I guess that's one way. That's a positive way of looking at it.
Well, we started off with having a lot of bad things about Trump. You know, what was he doing in my party? Was he really a Republican? Is he really serious? Can he put a cogent paragraph together? I was a big critic. We know that for months and months and months. And then eventually he started he did the old Democratic thing. He started winning elections, beating one Republican after another. I supported at least four or five of his opponents. And then he does the most important thing you can do in the 21st century. He beat Hillary Clinton. Oh, my God. And to my utter shock and surprise and to this day, eternal joy. And then he had to be president. Boy, oh, boy. That's a challenge. You know what? What a great year. Despite all the drama, most of it created by him. And maybe that's because he's a mutant. Maybe because he knows more than the average human being what social trends are going to be. Who knows? But he's had a great year, and maybe it's luck. Maybe it's this magic economy where the lowest black unemployment ever measured is just pure luck. I don't think so. It's called the Trump effect, and maybe he's learning to become how to become president. And then this immigration thing, wow, I'm not even sure I like it. But it's mind-boggling how he doubles the number what the Democrats wanted to give amnesty to, and what's that about, and where's that going to go? So he's the center of the stage, he knows it, and what is he going to say tonight? Well, we're not too darn sure.
Well,
that'll make the time.
We have to assume that the president is going to take a bow on the economy, and rightly so. I've always believed that presidents get too much blame when the economy's bad, and probably too much credit when the economy's good. But they're certainly going to get blamed when the economy is bad. So if it's good, why not take a bow? And in this particular case, I don't think that there's any question that the current booming markets are directly attributable to the election of Donald Trump. And here's why I say that. Because we know what the markets were on November 8th, 2016,
yep.
And we know what they were on the morning of November 9th, 2016, and they have been essentially every morning thereafter. Now, again, markets go up, markets go down. What will the long-term impact of the Trump tax cuts turn out to be if it blows the deficit into the stratosphere and we become a giant form of Greece 20 years from now? We may look back on this and say, boy, that was a blunder, but in the short term, there's no indications that it's anything other than a triumph. And the slashing of regulations, just the anticipation of regulations being cut, had a lot to do with why the market started booming from election morning, the day after the election, until Inauguration Day.
Against all the predictions, how painful was it for Tim Cook of Apple to say, well, yeah, we're taking $360 billion out of Ireland and bringing it back to the U.S., and yeah, we're going to pay 10% of that to the U.S. Treasury, $36 billion. And yeah, it was a Trump tax cut. He said that. It must have been one of the most painful moments of his life. But when you have an institutional enemy for Trump, like Apple, saying, well, it was a great idea, and we're going to create 20,000 new jobs in America, it just sort of fulfills everything of Trump's wildest imagination. So and it's not Trump alone. Of course, a lot of Republicans were behind that. But most of the big major business institutions that socially can't stand Trump are eating up the economy in terms of having it growing the way that conservative economists have predicted. So that victory lap, I think we're going to see a lot of that tonight. I think he starts with that. I think he ends with that. And then I think he puts the big challenge to the Democrats. Oh, you're talking about immigration reform, right? You want to help these poor dreamers, right? Well, I made an offer here, and now you're calling it racist. And that's exactly what Pelosi said. So the Democrats got some real problems here because they're not making sense. And it turns out they don't have much. They don't have a leader. There's not one identifiable person who looks like a leader other than Chucky Schumer, the clown.
Well, here's the thing. The president has had a weird path in the last couple of weeks on immigration. Whatever the proposals are, he pushed an issue that was perpetually on the back burner, and he shoved it front and center during the campaign. And I believe he largely won because of this issue. There were two major pledges from Donald Trump as a candidate, the border and jobs. And with the tax cuts and unemployment low, he can rightly claim victory on that. But he needs to crack the whip and get an immigration reform deal through Congress that includes substantive border security. Doesn't have to be perfect. Who's looking for perfection? Who's looking to laminate the country? And whether it's a border wall or a border fence or some kind of border barrier, there has to be some kind of a physical deterrent that goes from the Gulf of Mexico to the Pacific Ocean. And there has to be interior enforcement, and he needs to deal with, and now is the time to deal with things like chain migration, family reunification, the lottery, et cetera. We also, as you know, anybody who's looked at America's immigration system, we need to look at the legal process of immigration because it's Byzantine. It takes people decades in some cases to come into this country legally. Very expensive. All of these issues need to be dealt with. And he's got a great hand of cards. He's got a fantastic hand of cards. And what was odd about this, Sean, was a couple of weeks ago when he was having those televised negotiations, he said, I'll sign whatever you put in front of me. And it seemed like he was going to agree with, Dianne Feinstein to have a DACA bill divorced from anything else until Kevin McCarthy jumped in. And I didn't understand why he wasn't giving a nationally televised address from the Oval Office to focus and frame the issue. Well, he can do that tonight, and he has to do that tonight, in my opinion.
Now, Trump got my wife's vote. She's a Korean-American, Orange County supervisor. And we have family members that have waited 10, 15 years that did the paperwork, paid the fines, got the medical examination, waited their turn. And you've got up to 4 million people throughout the world that are high-quality citizens, high-quality immigrants to America that have the skills but can't get in because of this crazy immigration system that Obama turned upside down and brought in the lowest-skilled workers possible, people that sadly were such low skills they were not even literate in their own language. Now, how's that? They don't need Spanish interpreters. They just needed a lot of help. Well, that whole immigration structure has to be changed because this nation's going to continue to be a nation of immigrants, but we got to choose. Do we want people that's going to help our country or people that's going to take?
Now, with that said, we're talking with Sean Steele, California National Committeeman for the RNC, who you can follow on Twitter at SeanSteele1. SeanSteele1 is the Twitter handle. It's likely that the president will also talk about infrastructure investment. Which is something that the country needs. The country needs this. And this is something that the Democrats want because they see it as a lot of union jobs. Will Republicans support an infrastructure bill?
I'm almost reluctantly to say this. Yes, it's such a winner. Remember, just a month ago, the Republicans are going to lose the House big. They're going to lose the Senate. And you're supposed to mathematically, if it's a normal president and a normal election year, the first 2 years of a new president is a disaster for the party in power.
Well, it's usually bad for the party in power. It's not usually a disaster. I mean, to actually lose the House, to lose the House and the Senate would be a catastrophe for Donald Trump. But certainly the first 2 years, the midterm election for Bill Clinton was a disaster. You usually lose some seats. Yes, that is traditional to lose some seats. But to actually lose, he's got a big majority in the House. To lose the House would be really catastrophic.
Well, we're feeling pretty bullish because most of the polling, most of the districts have strong, capable candidates.
What about the 30? There's like 30 Republican incumbents who are bowing out with Freeland using being the latest.
20 of those are very good, solid red districts. Many of those guys who are bowing out, they're moving up to run for Senate. So it's not the foregone conclusion. If you have a roaring economy, all right, you got a huge trillion-dollar infrastructure bill, and you actually have some kind of, you take the air out of the immigration angst, that's pretty good politics, and I don't think there's too many presidents that have done that in their first 2 years.
Now, let's not brush past, though. Do you think the Republicans, because the Democrats will vote for an infrastructure bill, but Republicans, for some reason, then all of a sudden they get worried about deficits again, and I don't know whether or not that resonates with anybody anymore. I mean, after the tax cuts and— You know, I don't know that deficits, schmeficits seems to be the national trend right now.
I think that's pretty much a Trump trend as well. Now, the Republicans will not only support the infrastructure in general, there's going to be a lot of pieces here. You know, why are we going to do it for that city? You know, are we going to really support the bullet train? No, no, no. But are we going to improve highways? Yes. So, in general, I think Republicans are not only going to embrace this, they're going to lead it and take the credit. So my prediction is that the Republicans will be leading the infrastructure because it's just plain old good politics. People can see a good street when they're driving down L.A. or a bad street when they're driving down L.A. People can figure that out. That's close to home.
All right. Well, that's exciting. Now, if you were on the other side, let me ask you to play act with me for a second. If you were a Democratic National Committeeman member, what advice would you be giving your team for their deportment tonight during the State of the Union address?
Well, I wouldn't have a bunch of illegal immigrants shouting and screaming from the rafters. Every time you got these so-called dreamers getting vicious and nasty and attacking their own Democrats, belittling our flag, it's a losing proposition. Secondly, if a couple of Congress folks stand up and start raising hell, again, that's going to marginalize them. And thirdly, and this is honestly, this is spoken as a kind-hearted, loving Republican to my Democrat friends, dump Pelosi. She's just bad for business. Get somebody that's more articulate, that makes a lot more sense.
But I mean, do they sit on their hands tonight, or do we see one of those things where they're sitting on their hands and one side standing up going hurrah hurrah and the other side is just sitting there? Oh, do we have somebody on the Democratic side pull a stunt where they shout out "You lie, fake news"?
I think there's going to be five or six of those. That's just my gut telling me that, because basically the progressive caucuses, The extreme left wing of the Democrats, run the Congress, and Pelosi's trying to do her best to be their puppet, but you don't have any leadership.
Now, if he does that, if the Democrats get under his skin, does he go off teleprompter and get into it with them?
No. We saw in Davos, which was the strangest experience recently, goes to the center of the globalists, and he gives a measured, smart, intelligent a statement that was cool and responsible all at the same time. He is learning how to become president. Tonight, I think he might make a comment, but I don't think he's going to let it get under his skin, because I think he's truly ready for that. Again, it's going to be probably one of the highest rated States of the Union ever watched, as opposed to the Grammys, the lowest ever watched. Actually, our society's changing for the better.
All right. Listen, Sean, thanks so much for coming on with us. Once we hear the speech, we'll obviously have a lot of analysis, and I'm sure we'll be talking to you again. We appreciate you coming on with us.
Tons of fun, guys. Take care.
All right.